listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back. We're joined by Matt Brodsky. He is the Director of Policy at the Jewish Policy Center in Washington, D.C., a go-to guy on matters involving particularly the Middle East and their implications of developments there, of which there are many lately, as you know, from Egypt to Syria to Iran. And we wanted particularly to catch up with Matt to take stock of all of those. Matt, welcome back. It's good to have you with us at Secure Freedom Radio.
Good to be with you.
We might start with the last of those items. Bibi Netanyahu was on Face the Nation this weekend and spoke rather starkly about what he now sees is the imminent problem of an Iranian nuclear weapon. He warned that the new president of Iran is nothing more than, quote, a wolf in sheep's clothing. Smile and build a bomb, unquote. And that the clocks are ticking between Israel and the United States at a different pace, that Israel is closer than the United States and more vulnerable. What do you make of this talk of red lines once again from the Prime Minister of Israel and the implications for military action by Israel against Iran?
Well, I think he's trying to light a fire under the international community. He went on to say that, in quote, I have a sense that there's no sense of urgency, and yet, and so, end quote. So he really has seen the election of the new wolf in sheep's clothing president in Iran as something that has slowed down the international community. And, you know, as they looked whether they would like to negotiate with him, he, in the interview, made a very strong case for the fact that Iran is continuing to enrich uranium and that they are 90% of the way there. And he tried to impress upon the United States that it needs to do more and that the international community needs to do more. And as you said, the most striking part of the interview was the way he said that our clocks are ticking at a different pace. And I mean, that gets back to what Barack had said last year about the zone of immunity and how Israel views the time at which they would need to act is different from when the United States might feel it needs to act. But either way, Netanyahu doesn't feel that the United States or the Obama administration is making a strong case to Iran and convincing them that they should that they must stop. This gets down to a red line, which Netanyahu says is something that will help prevent conflict instead of increase the chances of conflict. And we've been sending mixed messages as a country to Iran for many years now.
Yeah, mixed at best. Unfortunately, all too often it seems as though it's all green light, at least at the substantive level. And that obviously is driving Bibi Netanyahu to a level of heightened concern, as it should all of us, it seems to me. Next, let's turn to Egypt. Matt Brodsky, one of the things that, of course, has happened in intervals since we last spoke with you is the coup, as some have called it, that resulted in the overthrow of the Muslim Brotherhood regime. What do you make of the steps that have been taken and the necessity, frankly, for those steps to have been taken to preserve stability in Egypt and for that matter, not only what's best in the interests of the people there, but of this country as well?
I mean, there could be no doubt when the Brotherhood came into office, Morsi made a quick series of power grabs, and it was intended to essentially break any form of democratic progress in the country. So the United States should clearly shed no tear for the Muslim Brotherhood being kicked out of office. But the opposition still needs to do is coalesce into different parties that can work together, and specifically those that are more liberal or secular-minded, because as the United States has been calling for a quick democratic transition to, a new election again, this is going to produce the exact same results. The Muslim Brotherhood are simply more organized than the liberal parties are there. So making constitution is the right step. Creating institutions are all steps in the right direction. But as Natan Sharansky once said, the culmination of the democratic process is elections. That's not the starting point. And that was a mistake the United States made in 2006 with Hamas elections. It's a mistake that that the United States continues to make when it comes to promoting elections right away in countries that are very prone to being then taken over by Islamists. That's clearly not in our interest.
I couldn't agree more, Matt. And the thing that I guess is particularly troubling is it seems as though this attitude about elections first, democracy second, is kind of rooted in this fixation on the idea that by simply having everybody participate, even the most anti-democratic of entities, including in this case the Muslim Brotherhood, that you'll somehow get an outcome that is conducive to the future, you know, consolidation of a democratic and liberal small l polity. It just can't work that way, as we've seen certainly most recently under the Brotherhood. And yet the U.S. government seems, Matt, if I'm not mistaken, to still be very much enamored of the brothers and working to have them rehabilitated, if not as the next government, then certainly as a participant in the process. Again, despite that anti-democratic, you know, genealogy.
It goes hand in hand with a long mistaken belief that once Islamists are in power, they're going to reform themselves because, you know, they're going to have to be ruling, so they can't actually act like they would as a opposition party. That hasn't been the case in Iran. We should know that. That's not been the case with Hamas in Gaza. And why would that be any different at all now with Egypt? So we know that. We have those examples. And, you know, supporting the Muslim Brotherhood is bad for the United States. It's just not in our interest. To the extent religious parties are running based on religion in the Middle East and then trying to create Sharia law, that's just not compatible with democracy on its face.
Right. We'll be talking more in coming segments with Andy McCarthy and Diana West about this folly of the commitment to the Muslim Brotherhood, both there and here. But I couldn't agree with you more. Listen, just one related point, Matt Brodsky of the Jewish Policy Center. I noted with interest that some 22 journalists who had worked for Al Jazeera television in Egypt resigned from that network on the grounds that they were sick to the teeth of it being a vehicle for Muslim Brotherhood propaganda and them having to toe that line. Your view of the advisability of having an arm of the Muslim Brotherhood's propaganda brought to the United States?
Well, this is a long part of the media war that exists in the Middle East right now. I mean, Qatar is the one who set up Al Jazeera, and they've been promoting the Muslim Brotherhood, wherever it is, in Egypt and Syria. This is who they've been promoting. And against Al Jazeera, you've had Al Arabiya, which is based in Dubai, but it's Saudi-owned, and they promote the Saudi version. And that's been the part of the Sunni divide as far as media strategy, but part of the Sunni divide as to where different Arab states look at issues such as Egypt. You know, those on the Saudi side in that camp view the Egyptian takeover by the military, or coup, if we're going to play, you know, Scrabble with it, as the Obama administration does. They see that as a good thing, supporting the military. And then you have, on the other side, Qatar, for its own reasons, and Turkey, both supporting the Muslim Brotherhood. They like to see more Islamists in power, and they would like to see their own countries have a heightened regional importance when it comes to any form of negotiations.
And presumably, too, you know, some influence over the direction that will be taken in terms of spreading this sort of Islamist doctrine of Sharia worldwide. We're seeing this play out, of course, in Syria to some extent, with various rival Sunni factions there. Of course, also you have the Shiite factions backed by Iran the government of Syria. Matt Brodsky, Syria is a whole other subject, and we're going to have to come back to you on another occasion to get into that if we can. But thank you very much for your analysis of what has been happening in other parts of the Middle East. Keep up the good work at the Jewish Policy Center. Next up, Andy McCarthy joins us. We'll get his take on the Zimmerman case and the U.S. Department of Justice role in it. It's unseemly, to say the least. That and much, much more straight ahead.